He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, July 21st, the Beat Goes On edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. The beat goes on. Boy, does it. I would have to say that yesterday the performance of our portfolios was as good as any day I have seen since I've been in the business over 22 years. So that's saying something. The momentum stocks were just on fire yesterday. And we're looking at futures right now that are pretty buoyant here. Dow futures right now up 166 as we close in on 27,000 and an all-time high on the Dow. The NASDAQ did hit an all-time high and did close at an all-time high yesterday. Those futures are looking up 75 points today after a 265-point rally yesterday as we're closing in on 11,000 on the NASDAQ. Hey, at this rate, the NASDAQ will catch up to the Dow at some point. I'd have to do the math. You remember the old math equation. If one car's traveling at 25 miles an hour, one's traveling at 45 miles an hour, and one starts out 300 miles behind, at what point will they be equal? Well, that's what we're looking at, NASDAQ Dow. Can you believe it? That'd be way in the future, but still, something to think about. S&P futures up 22, 3267. More importantly, they broke through that resistance yesterday of 3200, which has been tamping down the S&P. Not anymore. It's got new highs in its sights, too. Russell 2000 futures up big today, up 1.2%. And crude oil up $1.11, gold up $24 per ounce, and the 10-year is at 0.61. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, before we really get into today's action, I have to go back to yesterday. What a torrid run in the NASDAQ, up 264 points, carrying the NASDAQ to 10,767. That was a massive breakout to a new all-time high. I think Amazon, for instance, had its best day since March. Adobe had an unbelievable day. ServiceNow had an unbelievable day. Tesla continues to fly higher. It's crazy out there. Where were we in March? NASDAQ, 6,631. NASDAQ, 6,631. Today we're closing in on 11,000. And if you can find anybody out there that was more bullish than I was back in March, the articles that I wrote for Seeking Alpha, the record is there. The printed record is there. Talk about sticking your neck on the line. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm lucky I still have a neck, but you know what? I was right, and the market continues to rally. And if you get my newsletter every week, I've kept you in the market since March. I still have you in the market with one small hedge, which gets clobbered every day. But you know what? One day it'll be right in the future. I know. Well, you know, I like to have a small hedge just in case. It's like having a spare tire in your car when you go on a long trip. You hope you won't need it, but it's there just in case. Well, anyways, we're looking at very strong futures again today. After yesterday's huge rally, you know, the NASDAQ yesterday was up 2.5%. And at the end of the day, when I looked at the performance overall of our portfolios, I just had to tell myself, you know what? I've been in the business for over 22 years. This is one of the best days in the market ever. And it seemingly came out of nowhere. Why? After all these rallies that we've already had since March, why the big rally yesterday? Well, stimulus, I suppose. Stimulus out of Europe. The House here, the Congress voting and coming closer together on a package before they go on break. They're good at spending money. They can usually agree on spending money, not cutting money, but spending money. They seem to always come to a consensus on that one. And the virus news that came out of the UK yesterday from AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford. And more virus news here today. So I guess all of that has just got investors giddy right now. The work from home stocks yesterday, that ETF, WFH, work from home, was up 4% yesterday as those stocks were flying. Amazon had its best day since March. Huge day for Amazon. It didn't break out to new highs. It's gone through a pretty stiff pullback. And I think during the show yesterday, I said, you know, this pullback in Amazon's another buying opportunity. Boy, howdy. What a monster day for Amazon yesterday. Microsoft had a monster day yesterday. ServiceNow had a monster day. Tesla had a monster day. The list goes on and on and on. And you want to buy value stocks right now, bank stocks, financials, go ahead. Be my guest. Buy Caterpillar. See if I care. Buy Kimberly-Clark. See if I care. It was another day for, well, you know, Jeffrey Gundlach. Here he goes again. Totally wrong. He's been totally, totally wrong. He said that the rally of the March lows has been driven by a handful of mega-cap growth names. So therefore, he's saying the rally is not real. Well, you know what, Gundlach? You've been standing on the sidelines watching it go by, so I guess you got to come up with something. The tweets I sent out yesterday, the stocks that, like, whew, blew by, just blew me away. EPAM. Breakout, massive breakout in EPAM, E-P-A-M. Ericsson, another huge breakout there. The Swedish telephone equipment maker, which got knee-deep in 5G. DQ was a big breakout yesterday. Not Dairy Queen. That's a Chinese solar stock. In fact, solar stocks were also on fire yesterday. Massive breakouts in the solar space. Boyd, major breakout. BYDDF, that's the Chinese electric vehicle stock. BioMarin, a biotech. And the list goes on and on and on and on. I sent out a message to my live trading subscribers. I said, you know, with this move, the S&P 500 just pushed through that June 8th high, that resistance level of 3230, which it's been fighting for the last, couple of months, let's say, 7 weeks, something like that, finally broke through there. That's important. Resistance is a real factor in the market. When you look at a chart and you look at all the recent tops that a stock has made or an index has made and you draw a line across those tops, you can see that every time it gets to a level around 3230, it pulls back. Therefore, 3230 has been the top of the market, the resistance, the ceiling that the market needs to punch through. Well, it did punch through yesterday with a vengeance, and looks like we're going to get some follow through here today. You've got over in Europe, they seem to be coming closer. In fact, they've got a deal, I guess. European markets higher after pandemic recovery deal. They do have a deal. The Frugal Four finally seeing eye to eye with the Club Med countries and coming up with a stimulus package. You know, as I read newspapers across the world in the morning, that's all I see, stimulus packages all over the place. At some point, you got to believe that debt is going to be a huge problem across the globe. And in the meantime, you've got the U.S. and China ramping up the rhetoric. But that seems to just take a goes to the back burner right now with all of the stimulus and vaccine talk. Not much coming from this big chill between us and China. We get earnings. We got earnings this morning. Even IBM beats earnings. During a pandemic, IBM beats earnings. They can't even beat earnings when during the best of times, yet they beat earnings during the pandemic. We've got earnings from Coca-Cola. We've got earnings from Philip Morris. We've got earnings from Lockheed Martin. And the Wall Street parade continues, coming right into your home. With the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the globe is in rally mode. You say, this disconnect. You've got global economies in trouble everywhere, and yet all of these markets are roaring ahead. Well, they're looking forward. They're looking ahead, like I've always said. The vaccine news, I didn't really see anything new that wasn't already known other than, you know what, the trials are going very well with AstraZeneca. The trials are going very well with Moderna. Another one will publish the results of their trials today. There's currently 122 companies working on a vaccine, with 20 of them given this warp speed status to come up with something. Now, I do know that AstraZeneca today, this morning, has said, you know, the jury is still out whether or not we'll have something by the end of this year, because there's still a lot that has to be done. This was an interview on BBC Radio. The lead Oxford scientist, Sarah Gilbert, now she's a sharp cookie. I think her team is way ahead of the competition right now, but she said an end-of-the-year rollout of COVID-19 vaccine is possible, but there's no certainty because we need three things to happen. Positive results in late-stage studies, that's phase three, the manufacture of large quantities of product, and quick regulatory nods for emergency use. Well, AstraZeneca, again, is ahead of the competition. Moderna has not started their phase three trials yet. But AstraZeneca currently has phase three trials underway in Brazil and South Africa, and they're about to launch in the U.S. So they are ahead of the competition. In the meantime, Novavax, NVAX, will present their vaccine progress, I guess, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. The company R&D chief, Gregory Glenn, will present progress for NVX-CO V2373. Ask for that from your pharmacist at the Second International Society for the Vaccines Virtual Congress. So we'll be keeping our eye on Novavax, NVAX, as they report an important update on their progress or lack thereof tomorrow. We'll find out. China stocks were strong yesterday. Hong Kong was up 1.9%. I saw a lot of action in the Chinese stocks. China fires back after UK, this is the UK, suspends Hong Kong extradition treaty. The UK will bear consequences if it insists on going down the wrong road, said a Chinese embassy spokesman, after Britain announced it would suspend extraditions and arms sales to Hong Kong due to China's national security law. And over here, the U.S. has sanctioned another 11 Chinese companies, this time over abuse of the Uyghurs. That's the Muslim community, one of the Muslim communities in China. The U.S. government on Monday imposed trade sanctions on 11 companies, it says, are implicated in human rights abuses in China's Muslim Northwest region of Xinjiang. The move adds to U.S. pressure on Beijing, where the Communist Party is accused of mass detentions, forced labor, and other abuses, not good, against Muslim minorities. So the big chill gets chillier between us and the U.S., and now the U.K. has joined in. Of course, they banned Huawei, and now China is saying they're going to retaliate against the United Kingdom. Okay, now we've got some more news here on COVID-19. A new player, IMRN, Imuron. I added them to my app, I think, a couple of days ago. Imuron is up 118% in the pre-market on robust volume in reaction to its announcement that hyperimmune bovine antibodies used to make immune supplements show neutralizing activity against SARS-CoV-2 and cell-based assays. That stock up 118% in the pre-market on that news. And then the little San Diego stock that I've talked about before, which is Sorrento, S-R-N-E. Now, my father's business was in Sorrento Valley. I'm very familiar with Sorrento. The company is headquartered there. They claim that they have a cure. Now, they've made that claim in the past. They have inked an agreement with Agilent's unit, ACAA Therapeutics. I actually know somebody who works for that company, for exclusive rights to abivertinib. Abivertinib for the indications, all indications worldwide except China. Sorrento claims they've got something. It's SRNE. I mean, that's like a $5 stock. It's $8.36. Broke out again yesterday. They claim they've got the real deal. Not a vaccine, but a cure. And, that gives some credibility to it all, inking a deal with Agilent, pretty big company. Agilent does have a unit that is in the biotech business, and I actually, like I say, I know somebody that works there. I probably could get some information, not private information, nothing that's not public on that drug. Hibbett Sporting Goods, what's up with that? Up 25% after powerful earnings, blowout quarter. Hibbett Sporting Goods, well, you know what? I guess folks working out at home, buying treadmills, buying yoga mats, buying weightlifting machines, buying exercycles, whatever else it takes. With the gyms closed down, Hibbett Sports at comparable sales stores. Comparable store sales for Q2 are forecast to jump 70% year over year. And, of course, that is spilling over to Dick's Sporting Goods today, which is also way up. Tesla gunning for a record Q3 as shares gain another 10%. There's no stopping this thing. Look at the move yesterday. $1,643 per share. The market cap is now $305 billion. I talked the other night, about a week ago, with one of the biggest car dealers in this neck of the woods. He owns most of the car dealerships around here. When I mentioned the word Tesla, the hairs on his neck stand up, and he bristles. I wonder why. Tesla, $305 billion. This is Bill Gunnarsson. What other craziness can we find when we come back? A lot of individual stocks to talk about. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market is open. The NASDAQ up 61, 10,826. Just 176 points away from 11,000. And the Dow also up pretty sharply here. 185 right now to 26,866, just 134 points away from 27,000. So we have a very, very strong opening to the market after just a blowout day yesterday for the NASDAQ. The Dow was actually down, or maybe it was up 8 points at the end of the day. It was down most of the day. It was all about the NASDAQ yesterday. Today we've got a lot of big Dow stocks that have reported earnings, and most of them reported better than expected earnings. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Amazon confirms Prime Day delay. Now, they usually have that around Thanksgiving, right? Somewhere in there in October. Well, Amazon's Prime Day 2020 will be postponed by 3 months. Well, they don't have the people to fulfill the orders in their fulfillment because of COVID. So that could impact Amazon's earnings in 2020. But as I said, yesterday Amazon had its biggest day since March of this year. Amazon is currently trading at 3,211. And there for a while last week, in fact, Friday, it closed below 3,000. And now here it is all the way back to 3,200. And I remind you that it was 1,626 in March when I wrote my article that the market has bottomed and that Amazon was one of the best-looking charts in the market. It's doubled since then, has Amazon. AMZN. Amazon will report earnings on the 30th. 9 days, July the 30th. Now, speaking of Amazon, Jefferies and Goldman Sachs are both out with a $3,800 price target for Amazon, giving it 28% upside potential. Jefferies, they're catching up to me finally. Jefferies moves its target price from $3,100 to $3,800. And sleepy Goldman Sachs raises their target price from $3,000 to $3,800. And, of course, earlier this month in July, Amazon crossed the $3,000 mark for the first time. These are heady days we're living in. Microsoft LinkedIn cuts about 6% of workforce. The pandemic continues to take a toll on recruitment demand. LinkedIn laying off 960 workers. Of course, it is owned by Microsoft. It's no longer a traded company under its own symbol. Departing workers will receive a minimum of 10 weeks of severance pay and 12 months of continuing health insurance. But things not going well in the recruiting marketplace right now because of the pandemic. Zoom expands its presence in India. Speaking of work-at-home stocks, work-from-home stocks, let's see how WFH is doing today just for fun. Okay, it's flat. It had a monster day yesterday, and I noticed that Zoom had a monster day yesterday. This Zoom video is now a $76 billion company, $76 billion company, which obviously allows people to get together online from all over the globe and discuss, have a board meeting, whatever. Zoom video, ZM, huge, massive breakout yesterday. Pulling back, however, today. I do not own Zoom Video. They're expanding their presence in India by opening a new technology center in Bangalore. The Department of Energy unveils funding plans for hydrogen research projects. You know, I remember when the fuel cell industry first pretty much started. I want to say Plug Power and Ballard were some of the early players in that. And they've made a lot of progress. You know, look what's going on with the trucks that will be made by Nikola using hydrogen fuel cells as an option. I remember the Department of Energy under Obama and Biden, they were giving grants to the solar energy. This Department of Energy is giving grants to the hydrogen energy, which is water. Who's getting the grants? Caterpillar, Cummins, Engines, Nikola, Plug Power, 3M are among the companies that will receive $64 million in U.S. government funding for hydrogen research products. You know, I know Ford spent a lot of money on hydrogen cell research, and it didn't really ever come to much. But it seems like we're making some advances here in the hydrogen fuel cells. In fact, one company recently, I think it was Plug Power, reported that they're going to make hydrogen fuel cells available to the general public. Things not going well at Tailored Brands. That's Joseph A. Bank and Men's Warehouse. They were both really struggling on their own. They decided to get together, form a new company, maybe strengthen numbers, maybe reduce their costs. But you know what? Bricks and mortar continues to struggle. Tailored Brands expects to close up to 500 stores and reduce its corporate workforce by 20%. You remember the commercials. I guarantee it. Well, the stock not doing so well. TLR Day, whose days may be numbered. Tailored Brands is now trading at, you know, I can't even get a quote on this, 67 cents. 67 cents. Albertsons is a publicly traded company once again. And, of course, the grocery stores have been a beneficiary here of the move away from the restaurants. People afraid of getting COVID. When, you know, the restaurants around here seem to be doing pretty good. I don't know. It depends on the restaurant. Some are just more popular than others. But, of course, the restaurants being closed has really helped Kroger, of course, Walmart, and now you've got a new Albertsons is a publicly traded company again. A lot of analysts out today with very bullish. You know, I did my own work on Albertsons. In fact, it's in the app. I didn't like the valuation on it at all. I thought it was terrible. The valuation, well, I did my own numbers, came out very poor. IBM beats by 9 cents. When's the last time IBM beat earnings? Hey, maybe it's the new CEO. I don't know. But IBM beats earnings, and the stock is up today. I'm sure that's helping the market. Now, IBM is one of those big dividend payers. I think it's 6.5% dividend yield. So maybe you get a little bit of growth, little bit of capital appreciation out of IBM, and in the interim you're getting a 6.5% dividend yield on the shares. I can't remember the last time IBM beat earnings, but they did it this time, and of course they have a new CEO now. IBM is ranked at number 3,011. Out of 5,282 stocks in my database. We've got Lockheed Martin reporting earnings. Lockheed Martin reports earnings. They beat by 43 cents. Now, there's an industry that you have to keep your eye on as a proxy for the upcoming election. The defense stocks usually get fewer contracts and less attention under a Democratic administration as opposed to a Republican administration. That's just the way it is. And I've been watching the aerospace sector, the defense sector, has been trading very soft recently. But whether you can take anything from that, we do know that Biden in one poll last week was up by 11.5%. Nationwide, when you average all the polls, he's up by 8.5%. But, of course, the only poll that counts is the one on Election Day. But we'll keep our eye on those defense stocks and the solar stocks. The solar stocks are rallying and the defense stocks are selling off. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with the featured stock of the day. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the NASDAQ rally has gone poof pretty much here. NASDAQ up 7 points is all right now. The Dow is, it's, you know, some days the cyclicals lead. It's pretty rare, but they do have their days when the cyclicals are the leaders. Yesterday was a total momentum, technology, work from home, blah, 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 digital this, digital that, online this, online that. And now today you're seeing a sell-off in that space and a rally in the cyclical, probably led by IBM and some of these big stocks that have reported earnings here today. So you're going to get a different market today than you had yesterday. I think my featured stock of the day, I think one of the cheapest growth stocks right now to look at, to put on your list, to look at, and kind of sitting in a catbird seat because of the fight between Huawei and the U.S. and actually Huawei and the world. We're going to go to Sweden, Ericsson, E-R-I-C, Eric. You think there's anybody named Eric in those Scandinavian countries up there? How about Gunderson? Ericsson is $11.68, but it's a sizable, formidable company. It's a $38 billion company. And if you go back to, you know, the NASDAQ of 1999 and 2000, that was the telephone and computer revolution. It was the beginning of the telephone revolution. Remember that thing that used to hang on our wall that we used to have a dial? We'd dial a number and wait for it to return. Dial the next number, wait for it to return. Wait till Sunday night when the long distance rates were low to call your kids in college or whatever. Those were the days. And then in the late 90s, we began to see the move towards mobile phones. Now, I didn't have a mobile phone growing up as a kid. It seemed like I was always the last guy picked up. I lived quite a ways from my high school, maybe 2-3 miles. And I did play on the football team in high school and on the track team, and my mom would pick me up. I was always the last guy. It would be dark, you know. Where's Mom? I don't know. I'm the last guy here. The janitor's gone home. Everybody's gone home, Mom. But I'm still here. I had a great mother, though. I'm not complaining. I didn't have a cell phone. Hey, Mom. I couldn't text her. Hey, Mom, are you coming? Did you forget about Bill? I'm sitting out here in front of the high school. If you know, you can drop by maybe in the next couple hours. Anyways, Ericsson, you know, and Motorola and Nokia changed all of that. You know that Ericsson back in 1999 was $125 stock? $125 stock. By 2002, 2 years later, it was $1.70. It went from $122 to $1.70 as Apple came along. And as the tech sell-off came along, the dot-com bubble burst, and you had many stocks ending up at $1 or $2. And really, Ericsson has kind of trended sideways for many years. Well, it's finally got some new life here with the breakout here recently, and it's basically on 5G. And it's basically being helped along by the fight between the U.S. and other countries with Huawei, who thought they had the corner on the market in 5G until a lot of spying type of stuff was found in the Huawei equipment, although they're going to deny it. They continue to deny it. But there must be something there because many countries are now turning away from Chinese-owned Huawei. Ericsson has broken out here recently. They're expected to make 62 cents next year. It's $11.69. So you've got a forward PE very low of just 15. At the same time, the analysts that cover ERIC expect the stock to be able to grow their earnings by 26% per year over the next 5 years. That puts the PEG ratio at 0.60, way less than one, if the analysts are right. Ericsson also pays a small dividend yield. I have a target price of $19, given that right now. It's trading at a pretty low multiple. The stock is currently at $11.68, and it's starting to get a little momentum. In fact, the momentum grade right now is A+. A+. It's up 23% over the last 12 months, while the market's up 8. Ericsson is currently ranked number 326 out of 5,282. We'll make Ericsson, E-R-I-C, a name from the past, which has got some new legs here and some new life called 5G. All right, well, we have our various portfolios from the emerging growth to the bond portfolio. And everything in between, we kind of focus on growth, trying to grow those portfolios and protect when times aren't good. That time will come. It's out there somewhere, and I continue to keep my ear to the ground and my eyes on the charts every single day, watching for any signs of weakness. If you'd like to talk to one of our advisors here at Gunderson Capital, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to first see the kind of results that we've put up here, you can sample the newsletter at Gunderson Capital. GundersonCapital.com, and you can see the various portfolios that I meticulously manage with a little help from my friends on a daily basis here. This is my passion, and I can't wait to dig in here today. I got a lot of charts to look at. I'll be communicating with my live trading subscribers throughout the day, and we'll be working everybody's accounts that I manage here at Gunderson Capital Management very carefully, very vigilantly, very meticulously. Again, 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.